Lord, we trust in you, and we thank you for your supernatural provision for us. And because of your faithfulness, we have an assurance that you are here tonight. And we just want to proclaim out loud, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Minister tonight. Bring confirmation, bring encouragement, bring promotion of your church. Lord, we need to hear from you afresh tonight. So speak through all of us, in part, but together, God, there will be confirmation and encouragement and all the fruit of you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. May your glory rest in this room. Minister to us tonight. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to coach us for a few minutes. Tonight is what we call our open mic night. I don't know if that's the best name for it. It really is our family sharing night. So we have spent a month with some extra bit of prayer and some extra emphasis on spiritual renewal. And when the Holy Spirit fills, we would expect that there's also going to be a expression going out. And it's the same Holy Spirit in you, as in me, as in Jesus, as in Galea, as in Kathy, as in all of us. So the point being, tonight we want to function as the body of Christ. So I have just a few things to go over with us before we turn that loose. But number one, God bless you for everyone that's carried some extra weight and been up early and been here in the afternoons for all those prayer times. It's really been a blessing in so many ways. And I'm hoping that we'll get some of the debrief or some of the things that have come out of those extra prayer times tonight. I didn't make everyone, but most of the ones that I was at, there seemed to be some new revelation and some Holy Spirit emphasis. And so I'm hoping we kind of able to compare notes tonight and what God has been doing in all of us. So this is what the calendar looks like. And this is kind of the emphasis of the whole month, actually, here is this weekend, not to diminish the week after and, a break for Thanksgiving. But we're here right now with our sharing, and we're going to be back again tomorrow night with just a worship night. And as you can see, Friday and Saturday, we've set aside church-wide for fasting, and you are invited to join us, all part, whatever the Lord leads you. It's between you and the Lord. So we don't want to be legalistic about it. Don't tell me what you've decided. Just do it between you and the Lord. And nothing is too small. Understand that if our heart is in the right place, that is what is going to be the power ramping up for our healing service Sunday. And I know Marcia was planning some prayer tunnel strategies. Do you want to talk about that now, Marcia, before I go into the teaching of tonight? So here's what we're thinking. Sunday's healing service, we'll have a month of extra prayer. We'll be doing some fasting. We're going to be really ready for some personal ministry. And about the only thing we know for sure that's going to be a component of Sunday is we like to finish the service with what we call a prayer tunnel or a blessing tunnel, which is we'll have the prayer teams line up probably on this aisle, totally voluntary. That means people can still get out of the room. They can go down this aisle if they don't want to go through the tunnel. But we're hoping everyone moves through that tunnel, and we've gotten some testimonies that have been really encouraging to me. Is Dee Dee here tonight? Dee Dee, you want to share real quick just that testimony about, this doesn't count for open mic. This is just this is just your testimony about one of the first prayer tunnels you walked through.
Right. It was about a few years back, and I was walking through the prayer tunnel, and I was walking through louder.
Just hold it closer. That's all you have to do.
And I remembered at Women's Bible Study on Wednesday that I was walking through a few years back, and that Cindy Beckland stepped out of the prayer tunnel just to put her hands on me and prophesy that God wanted me to be healed emotionally. It wasn't so much physical as emotional. And she said some things that I needed to be healed from. It was just really encouraging. Super. Still to this day.
Amen. As simple as that. And probably, here, I should hand this to you. Probably 20 seconds. Short word, but being prophetic, being God's truth, very powerful. So, Marcia, you want to go over with us what you have planned for us?
Can you see this? Okay, so as Pastor John said, the tunnel will be over here. This time, we're going to have like three people who are going to be only just interceding for everything that goes on in and through the prayer tunnel. So you're going to have intercession going on, and you guys also are prayer team, and so you're the ones that are going to be holding your arms up or standing in this prayer tunnel or healing tunnel, whatever you want to call it, right? Because we can change it.
It'll be both. It'll be all of the above.
All of the above.
Prayer, healing, prophecy. Amen. Yes.
Holy Spirit tunnel, it's this month, right? Okay, so we wanted to just kind of share that as we're here lining up, that as there's going to be three people, like I said, and you want to stand up, you three, Ann and Lauren and Cindy are going to either be stationed here in the corner or down the wall as whatever they feel, but they're also, I want them to also feel a part. You can sit down. So just so you guys know when they come up to you or whatever. But that what we're going to do is make sure that they get to step in and walk through the tunnel and also be a part of the tunnel. Do you see what I'm saying? Does everybody understand that? And if they come over and they tap you on the shoulder, you know, it'd probably be one of the leaders or whatever, or you. You're a leader, and then you would step out and take their place and intercede and pray for specific things. And I have a list of things that I just want to share. We're going to pray, and you can even pray more things than what just that we got as we prayed. And so we're going to pray protection over the prayer teams as they're praying. We're also going to pray protection over them that are getting prayer, because the enemy wants to come in and bring doubt and all of those lies. We're going to pray for healing, deliverance, emotional healing, mental healing, restoration, and healing of loss, because there's all forms of things that we need heal for. It's just not cancer. And yes, we're going to pray for that too. That's healing of the physical. But depression, and so, because different things like that. And we're going to be, as we're praying, we're going to pray for the impartation of healing, impartation of God's power to be released, and also God's love being released. Because everything we do here is, our greatest goal is love. We desire love because love is what changes and transforms our lives, right? He meets us, and we want God to encounter each of us, not just the people that are going through the tunnel. And I also want to say, just because you're standing there in that tunnel or making the tunnel, that doesn't mean you don't get to go through. So every once in a while, one of you can step out and go through the tunnel so that, and this is probably going to last, 15 minutes at the max? Because it just goes.
It goes.
So I want to make sure that we all get through. But another thing that I'd like those who could stay later when we're finished, I'd like us to just kind of gather together and just to seal this in the blood of Jesus and bind up any spirits of retaliation that would come against any of us and the people that have gone through. Let me see. What else? Yes. Anything else that I forgot? Oh, thank you. I even drew a picture here, Pastor John. I can't show everybody. If somebody falls out, we're dragging them
out. I like that. A little arrow there going that way.
Okay, so for instance, if somebody's walking through the prayer tunnel and they sometimes the power of God comes and people just kind of collapse or they aren't getting out, just who you guys that are in the line, that you're just going to bring that person gently out, set them down, and let the Holy Spirit just continue ministering to them, and you get back in the line. And then, like, for instance, if you have such a passion that you feel for somebody who's walking through the tunnel, you don't just grab them right in there and, you know, do all that like I would do. Then you just kind of follow them out, and then you can say, I'd like to pray a little something more for you. That doesn't mean everybody leave the tunnel, but, you know, that you just take that person. If you feel like you have something a little bit more for them, do you understand what I'm saying? Then you go and you pray with that person or get another person and go with you to pray. But
the idea of the tunnel is it needs to keep moving. And that's the problem. It clogs up and it stops. And we are going to have a healing service where we pray for everybody that wants prayer. But what happens in a room this size is some people are good at hiding and we don't find them. So this is a catch-all measure. This is the end of the service, and the idea is it's hopefully not as intimidating as saying, will someone pray healing over me? Mm-hmm. If they do that, you know, done deal. We're going to pray over them. But if anyone makes it through the whole service, doesn't get prayer, guess what? When they leave, they can walk through this tunnel and be blessed and actually probably receive, mm-hmm. you know, a dozen prophetic words mm-hmm. from the team as they are walking through. But that will not be attractive if it stops and the line gets long and it's not moving. People will look at that and go, coffee, donuts, or waiting in that long line, they might go for coffee, donuts, which would be really sad because they're going to miss this opportunity. So that's why if you have something more than can be said as somebody is walking by you at kind of a slow but steady pace,
right.
Keep them moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick is, prayer teams, we've talked about this, but it's been a year. If you kind of lay hands, top of the shoulder only, please. Not back, not head, not anywhere else, just top of the shoulder. But you can apply gentle pressure to keep them moving. Okay?
Got it.
So, because if you do that,
yeah.
People will stop. And guess what? If the first car of the train stops, that means every car behind it stops. So you want to have people moving slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first year we talked about this, the prayer teams are so motivated, they kind of shot people through and people were flying out the other end. It's like, whoa! So no, you don't want to go fast, but you also please don't stop people because we want to make it as attractive as we can for our visitors. Mm-hmm. To have a low intimidation receiving prophetic prayer.
And if a block up happens and if someone comes and taps you gently on the shoulder, know that that's not, don't be offended, don't get upset and thrash around like a little 2-year-old, but just know that it's time, you just gotta bless them. And then if you have more to say, get out of the line and go back and pray. So we want everybody to be prayed
for.
That's
always an option. Please, I'm glad you said that because we can pray for people out of the tunnel and not block the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing is that we're also praying against like distractions, like manifestations that would, you know, that are, we just, manifestations I guess are okay, but to distract and to even make that person feel less than. But we want everyone to feel loved and encouraged.
Yeah.
And so, we're just praying against any manifestations that would be a distraction and that people can be healed and delivered without manifestations, mostly, right? So I think that's it. I'm excited.
Okay, thank you, Marcia.
Yes.
All right. So our assignments, I went over this Sunday, I'm going to say it again. Do, even if it's one meal, do some prayer and fasting over the next couple of days. come join us tomorrow night for our worship service. Again, this is to fill, maybe the correct vocabulary, this is to overfill. So we'll have plenty to give on Sunday. And then invite somebody you know on Sunday. Infirmity in any category. We've been asking for an anointing over addiction. We've been asking, this year seems to be a real emphasis on coming against things like isolation, depression, hopelessness, fear. So seems to be a list of emotional things, which probably are connected to the physical things as well. But if you know anyone that struggles with any infirmity, certainly incurable to medical, get them in this room. I just believe God's already done some healing this month, and I believe there's more to be had here. We just need to get them in the room. We may do this as well because the staff brought this up and wanted to do it. We may pull people's cell phones out, and maybe you invited somebody, they needed to be in this room, but they didn't make it. Have their number in your cell phone. We'll call them right from here and pray over the cell phone, okay? So we're gonna try to reach out outside of this room, even if, and I pray it's gonna be that strong of a presence that even through the cell phone lines, people will experience healing. And I think Jesus was telling me in one of the previous years we did this, even the team left they got a voicemail and they left a prayer on the person's voicemail, and that person felt even a greater benefit from that because now they had it recorded and could play it over and over and over again. So we'll see if we can't get that into Sunday's agenda as well. Sunday goes really fast as we try to manage the service and manage the time. That's why we wanted to talk about the prayer tunnel now. It's a little out of the ordinary, and it can cause a lot of confusion, but if you kind of know what we're trying to do, you can help steer people and help channel people. All right, so about fasting, I just wanted to go over three things that I'm hoping that we will fast for. Now, biblically speaking, there's more than these three, but this is the emphasis for us in this fast. In January, we're planning to do a Daniel fast again, and that will be a different emphasis. But for the next couple of days, number one, we're fasting for a greater measure of the power of God and personal ministry. In Matthew 17, 19, there is a demon-possessed boy that the disciples tried to minister to and nothing happened. And the Lord came along and said, oh, this unbelieving generation. And of course, with a word, he cast the demon out. And the disciples later asked the Lord, you could read this in Matthew 17:19. Later, the disciples asked the Lord, how come we couldn't cast it out? I mean, we said the same thing you said, but with you, it was like this, and with us, and it seems to be unbelief. It seems to be this prayerlessness that they were learning. Now, some manuscripts include, you know, Jesus saying this kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. That's not an original manuscript, so most modern Bibles have dropped that line. But the point being, I thought it was very brave of the disciples to say, Lord, how come we couldn't do it? What are we lacking? And so, number one, they were brave to try, and that's what we want to do Sunday. And if we don't get the results that we are expecting or wanting, let's ask the Lord why not. Ask him. And they asked the Lord, and he said, hey, you know, it's unbelief. Because if you had, and this is where he starts talking about the faith of a mustard seed. You could say to this mountain, move, and it would cast into the sea. So this is reason number one, we're fasting. Not for the church, not for the program, not for, no, me. I want my prayers to be that effectual, to have that authority. Number two, we're going to fast for direction. And this is when Saul of Tarsus had his experience with the Lord. The first thing he did was pray and fast and say, once he found out it was Jesus, he says, okay, now what do I do? Where do I go? What is my direction? So we want more authority in our ministry, but yes, God, we also want direction here, heavenly strategies for us and for Tacoma. And number three, fast for the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, this may mean something different to each of us. In some categories, I think we all share some of God's promises in common. But as you are praying and fasting, number one, I think it would be healthy to say, Lord, is there any promise I've forgotten? Is there anything you've said to me that, you know, it's been long enough now that I don't even remember? But there are some things that the Lord has said to me that have gone back many years and not totally fulfilled yet. And so I'm going to say, okay, God, I want to press in. I don't want anything delaying it. May any obstacle be cleared out. Make the road clear. If it's for prodigals to return, let's make the road level and clear out the debris that would hinder them. Now, I use the Luke 10 passage to as one promise. These were his instructions to them. This is when he sends the 72 out. The harvest is great. Well, that's a promise right there in the sense of we've been praying for revival. But the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. That's Jesus. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. I think we are instructed to pray that. There is a embedded promise in there of revival, of God's kingdom growing, and more workers to care for those new converts. So add that promise to the promises that God has given you personally. And, you know, even tonight, we may hear some more revelation and be reminded of some things that we have forgotten about. So those three things, and I think that's enough for this short fast that we're doing before Sunday. And again in January, we'll do it again with kind of a different emphasis. All right, so open mic night is really for us. It's our family sharing night, and a couple of verses just to encourage you. 1 Corinthians 14:26 is starting to talk about corporate worship and how to be together in a Holy Spirit atmosphere. Remember, Marsha already alluded to 1 Corinthians 14:1, let love be your highest goal. In everything we do, love has to be our highest goal. But then it goes on to say, but also desire all the gifts that the Spirit gives, the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And so tonight we'll have this microphone sitting up here, this cordless mic. Please hold it as close as you can so we can all hear, because you may have a word of testimony, you may have a scripture you just want to read over us, you may have a prophetic word that you want to share directly, that is fine. That's what this microphone is for. If you need the music stand because you wrote it out, just step on the bottom and raise the stand to whatever height you need. So 1 Corinthians 14:26, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. So 1 Corinthians 13 was talking about love, and then chapter 14 begins with let love be your highest goal. But then also we need all these gifts that the Spirit gives. He says, when you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. This is not for me tonight. This is not even for you tonight. This is for all of us tonight. And I love this passage because it just talks about the diversity of the body of Christ. We're different. And I hope you're okay with that. I hope you are actually encouraged by that. So don't compare. You know, if somebody gets up here and sings and go, wow, I can't do that. But you get up and read a verse, amen. There's not one better, excuse me, or one lesser than the other. It's point being, we need both. And everybody is contributing in the measure that you have. And so we should do this more often so we get more comfortable with it. But definitely, I wanted you to see this and understand that, to me, this is the ultimate church service, where it really is the Holy Spirit is here, and all of us are giving whatever little part we have. And then the sum of all of those parts is going to be glory to the Lord. And it's not one person like, oh, great job, you know, pastor. No, it's the body of Christ. So this gets me energized. This, to me, is exciting to me. And your brain may be going like, oh, well, what if it's not good? Or what if it's crazy? You know, I don't fear any of that. It's just us in this room. And the benefit far outweighs the potential cost. And so, again, that's why we call it open mic. Whatever the Spirit is leading in you, please share with your church family. All right. So, verse 39, still same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. And again, I think this goes back to verse number one, is the emphasis. Love is our highest goal, but you wouldn't know that unless someone spoke it. Meaning, this is how we deliver love and care for the rest of the body. I can love my wife, but if I never tell her, she never hears it. Years and years and years could go by, and she's going to have to kind of guess. Well, if I speak it, she hears it. Now there's knowledge of that love. And so this is important. Be eager to prophesy. And that means sharing God's truth. Sharing God's truth in whatever form that you have. And don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. All that is saying, we're in control. Meaning, yes, we can use the microphone. Yes, we can take turns. Yes, we can sense a scope in order, in sequence, and make it comfortable for everybody. But again, if we have love as our highest goal and everything we do is motivated by blessing everyone for the benefit of everyone, you're in good hands tonight. And it's going to be a powerful night. And so I did this charge up battery deal. And so to me, that's just the hope that we've been doing a lot of things, a little extra schedule. You may be feeling the physical fatigue as I am, but wow, tonight is going to be like a full charge battery night, where you just get charged up and are ready to go for worship tomorrow night and healing service Sunday. Any questions? Can we work together on this tonight and see what the Lord has for us? All right. Here's where the microphone is going to be, and it's just going to sit here. Jesus is going to follow you. Don't worry about following him. He's good at this. I just turned that microphone on, so that's why the bad noise. But please hold it close, and please share over your church family. I want to start and go first, and I'm going to read over you Isaiah 58, starting with verse 6. And I know this is one of our church's passages, and we read and talk about Luke 4:18 and 19 a lot, but this is kind of the Old Testament equivalent to Luke 4:18 and 19. I know that's quoted out of Isaiah 62. But Isaiah 58 is talking about fasting, and the nation got very religious in their fasting and very prideful. And of course, that hurt God's heart. He was actually angry about that. And I'm reading out of an English Standard Version, which is a little literal version, but I'm doing this to make an emphasis tonight for some things that I think the Lord has been leading us in all month. So the Lord tells Isaiah, instruct the people, your religiosity is not what I want. Your fasting and, you know, parading it around and acting like you're spiritual, that is not my heart. He says, is not the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the yoke to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Now, a yoke is something that binds you to something else. That's addiction. It controls you. You are not free. You are yoked to something. And where that something goes is where you have to go. Well, God is saying, I don't want your religiosity. I want you to set people that are yoked free. I want you to break those yokes. And so when I read it in this version, I'm saying, God, that's what we want to do. We want the authority over addiction so we can break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them. That means people that are lost their dignity and are walking in shame. To not make fun of them, not to point that out, but to cover their shame, to cover their nakedness means to restore dignity to human beings. And don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Relatives, family, that's us, the family of God. We are going to be available to each other. We are going to care for each other. There are some promises, Freedom River Outreach, that as you have been doing this, I'm speaking these promises over you. Because you've been doing this, then shall your light break forth like the dawn. If you've seen that, it just happens. It just spills forth and changes everything from darkness to light. And your healing shall spring up speedily. Your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You won't have to worry about your past. You won't have to keep looking back, because the glory of the Lord is going to guard you from behind. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, that thing that keeps you captive, that thing that keeps you addicted, and you don't point your finger and you're not speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, which you have done, Freedom River Outreach, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be as noonday. Your gloom, that's the depression, that's the emptiness, that's the hopelessness, that's the fear. Your gloom will be as the noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places. And he will make your bones strong, energy will come back, and you shall be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up on the foundations of many generations and shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets that you dwell in. Lord, that is my prayer for me. That is my prayer for each person in this room. That is my prayer for this church. That as we have worked hard, I'm not saying we're perfect. Lord, maybe we have done things that we've done out of religiosity or for the wrong reason. God, we repent of that. But Lord, search our hearts and show us as we come before you in this month saying, Lord, fill us up. Because we have spent time, we have spent money, we have spent effort, we have done everything we can to break the yoke of addiction, to cover the shame of human beings that the enemy is dragging through the mud. God, we want to be restorers of the streets in our city. God, may your righteousness break forth in each of us. May healing come to our bones and strength to our muscles. God, be our rear guard so we can go forward in all that you have for us. Lord, speak to us tonight through your people. Holy Spirit, you are here. Please minister. Minister through the greatest of us, minister through the least of us, it doesn't matter. Just minister. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just got, I felt like God was saying water flooding the earth, so.
If I can, could I just read a few verses?
Ooh, that's loud.
I'm a person who likes to sit my foot in my mouth, so I figured, you know, the healing this Sunday would be for, like, my paralysis. That will be taken care of, too. But, lately I've been putting my foot in my mouth and trying to figure out, how do I do that? You know, I used to public speaking in a lot of chaos and lost ministry and all that. But so you have to go through hoops and stuff. And today at the food bank was just one of those days that I just, like, and I was about to give up and say, I ain't coming back. You know, but I've had so many blessings lately. I'll tell you what, he'll fight you. And I'm telling you, I've been fighting a lot, but I've had housing and everything come back to me lately, but yet I didn't want to be ungrateful, you know what I mean? Willing to give up my best friend who's been there for me lately, you know what I mean? Just because I was just letting resentments get to me. You know, I thought I was handling right in the Bible, like going to that person if it didn't work out, but you know what? The forgiveness is for me, I noticed, you know what I mean? Because I had a part in that situation too, probably. Yeah, and if you get, probably, usually you do. Especially I do. Yeah, I know I do. Shh. No, I know I do. But, yeah, believe me, I do. Today was interesting. I can't even see. Romans, where was it? Oh, man, I can't lost my place. What is it? Romans 8:1. I'm not even on Romans. I hate when I can't find something. Jeez, there we go. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And also, I like Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Yeah, so it just reminds us of purpose, that we all make mistakes, try to be perfect. I came from a legalistic organization, you know, so it's like, got to be this way. You got to talk to us. Like, I wouldn't be wearing a hat up here, or I'd be in a suit, you know, if you get up and speak. But I just can't wait for this healing tunnel. It's going to be awesome. I can just imagine, you know, and I'm glad I did come back. You know what? Because I don't care, because, you know, I do have defects. And if I try to go up and apologize and accept it, well, that's, you know, at least I got the healing or whatever, or try to make it right. And so basically I would say, if you don't want to come out for the healing, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm blessed. I can't see my son's actual healing, but I know he's going to be healed. So in 2 years, when I'm able to see him, kid, I know he'll be alive and the cancer will be gone. You know, Jesus' name, because I got a God bigger than me. I put myself in this situation, and I tried to hide it these last month or whatever, you know, do all the prayer meetings and everything and try to do it and just, you know, and then I seen I was stuffing stuff up. Like, no, because, you know, I do miss my son. I wish I could be there, but I can't. But I put myself in that situation. But just know that we got defects. And one thing I learned, you know, through this ministry, because I keep on coming back to Fro, and I thank this church and this church family, is stop prophesying things like I'm putting my foot in my mouth. I'm just saying it out jokingly, but for now I'm going to try not to say that. I'll make mistakes and just try to. James 1, because also another thing is that James 1:19 with anger is another thing I have, you know. Be quick to listen, quick to spare, and slow to speak, slow to quick. Anyway, yeah, look at James 1:19, but yeah, that's another one I try to stick on. So just a blessing. Thank you all, church, and I just can't wait for the healing. It's going to be such a blessing. Thank you all.
I have two verses. Psalm 50. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. So just imagine, if you would, God is sitting on his throne, and around him a tempest is raging. There's fire that is burning. And you know who that fire is? That fire is you. You, each of you, are fire before the Lord. And so I want you to say this with me. I am fire. I am fire before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. One more verse. Acts 14. It says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. And as I was meditating upon this verse, the Lord just said that that's what he was going to do. As people are speaking and sharing, he's going to confirm the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. So as people are speaking, the Lord is going to do miraculous things around him to confirm his message of grace. So just think of that. As people are speaking, God is enabling you with grace to perform, to give miracle signs and wonders. So let's just thank the Lord for that. Amen.
As you're starting that song, I know it's part of the lyrics, but I saw like a tree blowing in the wind, and I felt like that was Freedom River.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sean. I'm reading out of James 1:2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Oops. Sorry. For you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What I wanted to say is, back in November 11, 2011, my son had got a hold of my gun and shot himself. I ended up going to prison for 3 years, lost my kids. I got out in 2014. I had no hope. I gave up hope, and I started using drugs, and I started using it in a way that I never thought I'd ever do, which was IV. And I was able to come out of that and realize where I was going nowhere fast. And I'm just amazed of the person I am today. I graduated the New Life program. I've been clean for over 2 years. I got my high school diploma. I got my driver's license. I'm on my way to a career to being a peer counselor. So, you know, God is good. He'll move in your life if you submit to Him and you just do His will. It's just amazing of the heart that I have today, the person that He has made me. God is good. Thank you.
I'm reading from Isaiah 35. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And I just feel like lately God is calling me to higher ways, to be done with childish ways, selfish rights, unforgiveness. And I feel like God is calling us to higher ways. And this requires heart searching. This requires giving up some things. But there is so much more ahead of us. And so I just pray right now, Lord God, that you give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear your voice. What does it mean to walk in the way of holiness, Lord? What does it mean to consecrate our lives? Our hearts, God, our mouth, the words we speak. What does it mean, God? And I just pray, God, that you will burn in our hearts this hunger to be a living sacrifice. As Paul said, we are a living sacrifice. And I just pray, God, that we will have willingness, even when it's hard, even when it seems like we don't have strength for that. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient because in the end, we set our eyes on you. You are our prize. You are our goal, God. You are the one we live for, God. And I just pray, God, that you will renew the joy of our salvation, God, and hunger for you, Lord God. And I just pray that striving will go away in Jesus' name. Striving must go. All the things we do, it will be tested by fire. And we want to live now as living and building on the rock. Not the things that will burn, but eternal things, love. Let love be our highest goal. And let us examine our hearts, God, if it's pleasing to you, God, and be willing to let go of things that don't matter, God. Lord, and I just pray, God, for joy. I pray for joy to spring up in our hearts, knowing that you are yearning for us, God, to find us in the secret place, God, to find us willing to listen to your voice, God, to find us willing to obey, God, your commands, Lord God, to find us willing to sacrifice, Lord God, to find us willing, God, to spend more time with you, Lord God, lingering, God, and staying in your presence because we want to know more. Like Joshua, he would go to the mountain and he will stay there and wait for Moses because he wanted more. He wanted more, God, and let us have this hunger for you, Lord God. And so, Lord, I just pray also for hope to reside in our hearts, God, that you're the one who fights our battles. And as we go through the valley of weeping, if we go through the valley of Baca, we find springs of joy, springs of life. And if we just hear the words of streams and water, God, it's you, Lord God. It's your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you'll spring up in us the well. Spring up in us the well of living waters, God. That everyone, people around us will come and drink of your goodness, of your love, of your holiness, God, of your righteousness, of your loveliness, Lord God. Let us be, God, the reflection of you, Lord God. Let us be people willing to go higher up on the way of holiness, on the way of consecration, on the way of higher standards, God, on the way of accountability, on the way of more hunger for you, Lord God. And I just pray that you release in us, release over us, God, this hunger. Release over us, God, this fire, God, that will burn in our hearts, like in Jeremiah, this words will burn in our hearts, God, and we will not be able to do anything. We just will have to speak these words, God. And so I just pray, God, for this fire to be released, Lord. For this fire to be released, God. For this fire to be released, Lord God, in the way of joy, in the way of passion, in the way of hunger, God, in the way of hope, God, in the way of righteousness, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Scripture from Matthew 10:7. It says here, and go as you go and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers, and explore the demons. Sharing to the Lord, speaking to him, and I feel like this is my calling to be healing. And lately I've been coming encounter with some healing, and I feel like this is my calling right here. Thank you. So I'm ready for Sunday. Take on the demon, and thank you.
When Sean was here, I heard the word weapon, and then I thought, and I asked God if it was just for Sean, and I felt like he said it was for all of us.
It's hard to believe just a year ago I was terrified to be up here. First, I want to pray because the Lord told me tonight that from now on, he's going to work on me being able to do this from memory, that he was going to guide my words for real. And so I'm standing on that promise that he gave me tonight. But for tonight, so the Lord kept giving me a vision the last month or so. And I was telling everybody that the Lord kept giving me this vision of Satan in the throne room, trying to get God to, or telling God, I can get her to sin. I can get her to sin. And so I was focusing on Satan up there in the throne room, trying to to provoke God into making me sin, or into saying, okay, we'll do whatever you want to, you know, like he did with Job. And that's not how God wanted me to see that vision at all. So according to the book of Job, Satan, the adversary, makes regular visits in the courtroom of God. His task is to roam the earth seeking out acts or people that are being reported as adversary. God kept giving me this vision of Satan in the throne room trying to provoke God by using my past and my present sin. I kept feeling like a disappointment, like I was going to keep letting God down, that I was his adversary. He kept giving me the same vision until I focused on him, not the accuser, not the liar. He wanted me to see his character and his love for me. Amen. That every time Satan goes up into that throne room against me or any one of us, God's cheering for us. Right. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him." He is our advocate, our counselor. He's our creator. He wants me to focus on the truth and that the eyes of God, the victorious king, are always on me, that he trusts and he acts on my behalf. He strengthens me. He's there all the time. This is what God says to Satan about me. There is a woman in the land of Tacoma. Her name is Deirdre. And that woman is blameless and upright, fearing God and turning away from sin. So through the blood of Jesus, that is how God sees me. He wants me to know that he wants me to see me the same way. I am his work in progress. He is my hope and he is my motivation. 1 Peter 3:13-22 says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear the threats, do not be frightened, but in your heart revere Christ as Lord. And if my suffering is for what is right, then Satan has no case against me. And I am blessed." So loneliness, depression, condemnation, fear, I rebuke you. I will no longer suffer for these lies. 1 Corinthians 10:13 states that no temptation has ever overtaken you that is not common to man. My sin is no, therefore my victim of my past and my insecurity, self-hatred, I rebuke you as well. Amen. My sin is no greater than anybody else's, and my Father adores me. Amen. My God is faithful, and he will not let me be tempted beyond my ability, but with temptation he will also provide me a way of escape, that I may be able to endure it. So Holy Spirit, fill us up, let us focus on you, our everything.
Didi, you are an encourager. Amen. In Jesus' name. I also had a word from Job. You see, sometimes we think that we lost it all. We think that because something happened in our life, you can count them sometimes, right? We like counting them and remembering them. Job lost almost everything. He lost his family, his kids, his everything he had, even his friends, they all were not with him at that time. And if you read through the book of Job, he was always, you know, most of his, he's just telling God, why do they do this? Why are they having a family? Why do they wake up in the morning and see their kids? Why this? Why that? But at the end, he says, I'm still going to follow you. So the verse I have is Job 42:5. I had only heard about you before, but now my eyes see you with my, I can see you with my own eyes. And so this is Job saying, I can see you, Lord, after I lost everything. I can see you with my own eyes. And this is the true love of God. It's when you know that only he can take everything and give you everything. And so I just want to pray over you. If you feel that you have lost something and that you cannot have it back, I'm letting you know that you will have it back in Jesus' name, because he doesn't have debt with us. He knows that you are loved. He knows what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. And it's not for you to know when. It's not for you, because we're all passing through a season where we need to grow. And the way we grow is when we wait in him and we know that he is love, that he loves us dearly like he loved Job. He left Job, passed through the whole thing, and at the end Job said, I have known you, but now my eyes have seen you. And I declare that in you. Thank you, Jesus, for each life that is here, Lord, that you have seen us, that you have seen us, that we have seen you. We want to see you, Lord. Our eyes wants to see you, the author and the finisher of our faith. That wherever we're at, Lord, when we're crying in our knees, when we feel lost, when we'll feel depressed, with anxiety, with no hope, just lost, Lord, you are always there. You are always there. And we declare life in our own life. We declare joy instead of depression. We declare, Lord, happiness and blessing instead of anxiety, Lord. We declare that you have control of our lives as we keep focusing on you, the love, agape. We thank you, Jesus.
This is a prayer that I've been reading, and every time I turn to my Bible when I'm sitting alone in his presence, it always flips to there. So it's a prayer for Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth divides its name. I pray that out his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. I pray that you, be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and its depth of the love of Christ, and to know that this love is surpassive knowledge, that you may be filled to the measures of all the fullness of God. He loves us. Never forget how much he loves us.
See what Jesus said, I don't struggle with the above. I don't turn it on threat. The above, my life is fine, you know.
I felt two things in my heart to share today. And one of them, I'd like to read out of Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the riches of fare. And this word's just beautiful, how we can come to Jesus, we can come and buy and eat with no cost. And God has so much to give to us, to feast on him and to delight in him and have taste of his riches. And when Pastor John was sharing that, he just wants God to break off addictions in our life. I just really felt like, yes, Lord, yes, for the Lord to break off addictions. But then I felt like, but the opposite, I don't know if it's the opposite of that, but I just in my heart, I felt like for God to break the addictions, but to give us to give me an addiction for Jesus, where we just want so much of Jesus that we have a craving for Jesus. And if we're low, that we just run to him, we go to him. God would just give us a high in him, and that's something we would crave so much. And when we were low, that we would just run to him. And I just want to thank you for being able to share tonight. Thanks.
I think it was when Deborah was sharing, I got the word fruit, and then I just kind of wanted to wait before sharing that. But then when Anne came up and she said addictions, I felt the word fruit again. So maybe that's a word for you. And I also got a word joy. Amen.
I remember Pastor John was sharing like a month ago about shift. Heard the word shift. And I don't know how it looks like and what it is, but I am ready for shift. I want newness of life within me. I want newness of life within, around me, at my friends' lives. I want to see new things. I want to go new level. I don't know. There is more depth in God. We grow from glory to glory, right? And so I don't know how it looks like, but I just want to release that over us as a church, as a family, individually. And we also talk about promises a lot, promises, bringing it before the Lord, reminding him, not because he forgot, but because that helps to remind us that he's faithful. We need to remind ourselves. We need to speak life into that. And our words have power, right? And so now, Lord, we just come before you, God, and I ask, Lord God, that you will show us, what are you doing, God? Where is your heart? You said secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him, God. And we just want to know secrets of your hearts for us, secrets of your heart for our friends, for our church family, for our family, for the city of Tacoma, God, for Freedom River Outreach, God. We just pray, Lord God, that you will show us. And right now, I just declare the shift. I just break any delays. I just break, in Jesus' name, any obstacles. We just shut the mouth of devour right now in Jesus' name. We declare release of all these promises that we're laying dormant, of all these things that God spoken over us, of our original design. We just pray fullness in Jesus' name, that we will sit down at the right hand of God, and we will walk in our position and our authority, and we no longer will look back, but we will press forward to the goal. We will run our race, and we will not be delayed, and we will not stumble, and we will not be afraid. And I just pray even now, courage and boldness to dream again, courage and boldness to declare things of ourselves, that we are healed, that we are free, that we are successful, that we are blessing, that we have authority, that we have power, that we change the world around us. I just declare that in Jesus' name, we just cut any ties of agreement with the enemy, any words that we've spoken against ourselves. We just break that power in Jesus' name, and we release the freshness, and we release fresh anointing, and we release fresh power. We release fresh fire on us, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I just pray that we'll dream again. Dream dreams that are bigger than us, that are impossible without God, that we'll be daring to dream this, we'll be daring to prophesy this, that we'll be daring to speak it and believe it and share it, God. In Jesus' name, no longer intimidated, but we have power, we have sound mind, and we walk in love in Jesus' name. And I just declare the shift over our thinking, God, over our hearts, over our emotions, God. I declare that shift right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, newness of life come, fire of God fall, joy and hope is restored now in the power of the name of Jesus Christ.
That we keep fighting to go to back to something that we think is normal, but the thing that God wants for us is more, and it's greater than that. That what you think in your life was okay was never actually okay. That was never actually what God wanted for you. And we just kind of got stuck in a norm and saying, well, at least I'm feeling okay, or at least I'm feeling fine with this time in my life. Not to say that we couldn't be blessed in our life at some point, but that God, even those blessings that you had during those times were nothing compared to what God actually wants for you. That we haven't even seen the fullness. You haven't seen the fullness of what God wants for your life. That what God has for you is greater and so much more than you can ever have imagined. That where he's taking you is something you can't even fathom. So stop striving for something of the past and aim for something that God wants you for you in the future. That there's a lot more things that he wants for you. And I just want to break off just feeling okay or making it through the day kind of attitude. Or, you know, it could be worse, or things that we say like that to ourselves. And not fully accepting the joy that God has for us in our lives. So God, I pray a joy, God, over our lives that is far beyond anything that we've ever even felt before, God. What it truly means that in all situations to be joyful, God. Lord, that we don't just want to get up and be okay with the day, God, but we want to live and glorify you every day, God. That we don't want to just make it through the day, Father, but we want to be making it in your way, God. Do it your way, Father. Lord, even underlying sorrow or whatever it is, God, that keeps on coming against people, Lord, I just pray against that now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We don't just want to come back to a normal level that we think is normal, God. We want to go to a God level, Lord, a supernatural level in our lives that is far beyond the things that we face, God. Again, I go back to the vision as I was driving in on Sunday of how beautiful the death of a tree is for winter, because we know that in spring there's going to be new growth and new life. So that's the kind of attitude that we need to have when we face any trials in our life, is try to find the beauty in it, even though it may hurt at the time, to try to find what God has for us during those times, because we know when spring comes, there's going to be new growth, new life, and we are in that new growth and new life in our lives right now. Now that we're out of the trials, we can look back and say, look what I've been through, and look how much has grown me. Look what God has done for me. And now I can see where God is taking me. God, so I do pray for that new level, God. I pray for that new level, Lord. God, I pray for that new level, even that the enemy can't attack us the same way over and over again, God. Lord, that the same schemes, God, Scripture tells us to be wise, God. And so I just pray that tonight we start to be wise, God, to the schemes of the enemy. That the same things that he trips us up, the same phone calls that we may get, the same friends that we may be hanging out with that cause us to stumble, we would choose to say no today, Father. That numbers would be lost, God. That forgiveness would be released. That joy would be released today, Father. God, we need you. Lord, we don't know what it looks like 100%, God, but we do know that when you're in control, we don't have to know what it looks like, God. We just got to trust that you have us, Lord, and we trust in you today, Father. We trust in you, Father.
Once a month. It's important. And can I say you were good at it? Well, I was, well, really loud on this thing. Yeah, I was, oh, thanks. I feel like the baby toe tonight of the body, but it's okay.
We need those.
We do, don't we? Yes. We get balance.
Yes.
So I was praying today, and Father pointed out Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. He said, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto thy sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in thy midst of thy heart. For they are life unto these that find them, and health to all their flesh."
Amen. Thank you, Perry. Okay. Hallelujah. This is amazing night. Okay, I had written two things down, and Galia confirmed it, and so did Jesus, and so I thought, I have to do it. So I kept hearing, as Pastor's been teaching us about growing, and that we're all growing, and I heard the words, we are growing in Him, and in that He is preparing us to bring glory to the Father. And that shifting, the Lord said, we have a new mindset, that the Lord has shifted us, and that we are no longer going to think in the patterns of the past, the old religious, the old traditions, the old pains, the old this and that, but God is shifting us. And it says, forget all that, right? Forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm about to do. In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. And so I heard that to speak a blessing over you of impartation, of the baptism of power, and the baptism of love. That when, and this is not just for us, but it's to bring the glory of the Lord on the rest of our life, not just praying in that prayer tunnel or praying when we're sitting here Sunday, tomorrow night. But I just want to declare this over us. And then I have a scripture that I want to read. But why we need the baptism of power is for the ability to do the ministry that Christ has called us to. And the ability in the baptism of love is to love, love, love when we aren't seeing anything happen. But that burning that someone spoke about, that I think it was Galia, that Jeremiah 20 verses 9 and 10 is what she spoke. But it's a fire that cannot be quenched. And so I just want to declare that over us and pray for that impartation. Whether you feel anything or not, it doesn't matter. But this is what God is doing. And so Holy Spirit, we agree with the words that you have taught us in this month. And Lord, we just pray right now the blessing of the impartation of the power of your great love to be released upon us. And so, Lord, we thank you right now for the impartation of the baptism of power and the impartation of the baptism of your love in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And then the scripture I just wanted to declare over you is the scripture. Hello. Is the scripture that I read in one of our prayer meetings, but I just felt like, this is you, me. And you know that God anointed Freedom River Outreach with the Holy Spirit and with power. And Freedom River went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God is with us. Amen. Woohoo!
So when Galia was praying, I saw a picture of a mountain, and it said truth, and I heard stand tall. But I also, I guess, wanted to pray, stand tall, I am your king, surrender to me, I am doing a new thing, I am doing wonders, I am opening pathways, I am opening light in dark paths. I am giving you revelations. I am giving you new hope. Trust in me. I have the safe way.
Okay, so when Marsha was
talking about the anointing and the impartation, I just flipped away, because when I was sitting there, God was telling me to do something. So about 10, 15 years ago, a prophet came to me. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. He came and gave me his hand, and he said to me, "Prophet," just like that. I mean, I didn't, you know. He said, "Prophet, use your strong character to prophesy." And that was all he did. And I said, okay. I didn't know what that looked like, but now I do know. So when I was sitting down, God was showing me anointing, the oil, and everything, and impartation. So now I want to impartate that to those who want the gift of prophecy. Because as we're saying, you know, we need to grow. We love Jesus. And if you're a full believer of Jesus, if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, and you want that gift, I would ask you to stand up and I will pray for you. I am your Lord, your God. I healed you. So, Lord, just like that prophet said to me, you're going to feel in your mouth like you don't have saliva, like it's dry. I want your hands to go out and like you're receiving the anointment. Receive that anointment in your hands and in your mouth. You will speak God's word, and he will speak through you, and he will prophesy. He will give you his word, and you will go prophesy to those who need his word. And if you believe it, say, I receive that Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He says, practice it. Practices means on faith, you go, you talk to a person, and you'll see.
Hello, everyone. You can sit down. I'm Dave. I'm just going to share a little bit of my testimony. You know, it's like I'm sure I look good up here, but I come from a fourth generation Christian. Both my parents are elders at the church, but also very abusive behind the, you know, outside of church, at home. And this abuse, to be honest, still continues. Also, something that you didn't know about me, I was married, I've got a daughter. And long story short, I was on the streets in England, in London, where it's not a very nice place to be, homeless. I was turned away from churches, and I was really upset with God for a long time, not to mention depression. Depression beyond anything, actually. But this is to say that it's not about the fact that I was homeless. It's not about the fact that I was abused. It's not even about me. I mean, I've seen so many Christian and Christian psychiatrists and inner healers from church, and they've all told me, after I tell them my whole life story, they tell me, how are you still functioning? And my only answer to them would be, ask him. Because apparently I'm supposed to be beyond help beyond depression, beyond anything that any normal person can endure. But somehow, he's brought me here. I was picking myself back up in Asia, working, fighting to try and see my daughter, who I haven't seen now for 7 years. And I do miss her every day. But you know, Abba's got a different plan. Things that I thought were irrelevant are so relevant. And Abba's showing me that whilst I'm here. He's showing me what true forgiveness is. And also, I think most of my life, I played the victim, and I've also spoken curses over myself. But that was in the past. I am free. I am not a victim. Yeah, I just wanted to come out and share that.
So just real quick, like I said, I lost my kids in 2011, but as of today, you know, it was almost 8 years that I didn't get to see my son, and I get to see him every week. And so that's how good God is. It's amazing. I mean, so my daughter's name is Shania. I haven't seen her since then. So just keep her in your prayers that she'll reach out to me someday. And another thing too, I am a cancer survivor. God is good.
Preacher say once when the devil was giving him trouble, and he says, "Nice try, but it didn't work." And personally, I really don't think I'm that big of a deal. But I have survived cancer twice. I've survived a divorce. My husband was the preacher. He was abusing me and the kids, and he left. I didn't even kick him out. You know, I've went through so many things, but I'm a testimony to the faithfulness of God. He has just been faithful, faithful, faithful. So when you're going through something and you don't know why, just say glory to God, because he's getting glory because you're staying faithful to him. And he is so good. I want to say a little bit about, we've had a lot of Bible studies in this last week, and a personal share, and then everybody else shares a little bit, and they open up. And I think it's becoming real to each other that is giving us great strength. It's just dynamite when we have these different Bible studies I've been to. And I just want to thank God because he is faithful.
Well, here's one of God's promises, and I believe a formula for us Sunday in how we are going to see healing come in. And it shall come to pass in the end times that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, don't you love that? Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And even the servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Don't forget that promise of God. Peter quoted this. It's out of Joel. In Acts, when the Holy Spirit arrived. Well, this is for us as well. And I thought of this verse when Jesus was sharing about the vision he would see in the trees. Being a young man seeing visions, that puts me in the category of old man dreaming dreams. And I have several dreams but one that I'm gonna hold on to. And that's that the Lord gave us a John G. Lake credit card. What that means is John G. Lake was out of Spokane, Washington, our state, this corner of the country. And his healing rooms are still going to this day, but during his ministry, Washington State was known as the healthiest state in the Union because anyone that was sick would be healed by John G. Lake or any of his ministry. Now, when I got this credit card, I didn't deserve it. I did not earn it. I knew right away when I looked at the credit card, this is a dream. I knew two things, that it was the Lord that was giving it to me. It was not my name on the credit card. And I tried to give it back because I thought that would be the right character before the Lord. And the Lord says, no, you use this. Use this credit. So that is my dream, to see healing break out like it was almost 100 years ago. There are other prophecies having to do with the West Coast, but for now, let's just close our time by saying, God, we are going to pray and we're going to fast based on your promises. Pour out your Spirit, and I know that if we are so filled with the Holy Spirit, every disease, every infirmity, everything that is not of God, there's not going to be room for it. It's going to have to leave. It's as simple as that. So maybe you haven't healed anyone before. By the way, the Lord told us to do it. He said, you do it. He told the disciples, you guys go do this. We got confirmation of that tonight. So Sunday, be bold. And if you're more comfortable praying in the Holy Spirit, amen. We're going to know that that means all infirmities must pour out. So God, we thank you for tonight. There is one Spirit, one baptism. That's why it's so perfect. That's why we're good at it. It's not us. It's you, Holy Spirit, speaking through us. But thank you. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for energizing us and filling us up. God, I pray that even over the next couple days, as we prepare, as we worship, as we fast, as we pray, that instead of getting less energy, we get more energy. And that, God, your people are ready to cash in on those dreams, on those visions, to see you glorified, Jesus, and to see your name high and lifted up, and that your kingdom will manifest here on earth as it is in heaven. And we know there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no tears. God, we want to see the fullness of your presence in us, through us, to this dark land. Come, Lord, heal our land. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. What a great night.